Yes, we see.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Leader of the Pack on the All Paws Pet Radio Network. I'm one of your hosts. From Fort Worth, Texas, I'm Susan Herbert, the Lone Star Dog Whisperer. And my co-host is America's canine expert, Mark German.
Well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate you bringing me back every week. And I just love that Australian accent of yours.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a blooming onion. I hear you're feeling a bit down under the weather. You must have seen, what, 25,000 dogs this week or something?
I don't know. Too many.
Right. Well, hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. Welcome to the show. You can find out more about us, Susan and Mark, and what we do at americascanineacademy.net. We welcome your questions or comments, as always, and encourage you to email us at pettalk@live.com. And just a quick shout-out to Doug and Don in our studio and to our producer, Jack Guberman, for making us number one on BBS Radio. Susan?
So we've got two great guests today. On Tuesday of this week, the FDA released a progress report on their investigation of jerky treats. So coming up later in the show, we have veterinarian, pet lover, and nationally celebrated author, Dr. Kathy Alanovi. She's going to be on to discuss the jerky saga with us. But first off, we have author, blogger, and radio host, Michelle Rosenthal. Now, most people know that Mark and I train service dogs for military veterans that have PTSD. Well, Michelle is a PTSD survivor, and so we've asked her to come on and talk about her experience with us. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an important topic to discuss, so I appreciate your highlighting it.
Well, thank you. Welcome, Michelle. Let's get started here. Your book titled Before the World Intruded. It's about your personal story. I know you had a disease similar to Stevens-Johnson syndrome, and not a lot of people outside the medical world know about it. But can you sum up your trauma so we have a sense of what started your journey?
Absolutely. You know, Stevens-Johnson syndrome begins, and so I began my journey there. It's an allergy to a medication. And so some people, that's just hives or a rash or some small blisters, and Stevens-Johnson syndrome just usually covers 30% or less of your body. But I like to do things in a big way. So instead of just going for the little Stevens-Johnson syndrome, I had an allergic reaction to a sulfa-based antibiotic. It was just a run-of-the-mill antibiotic. I had 100% of my body respond, and so essentially the allergic reaction turned me into a full-body burn victim almost overnight. So I was hospitalized for several weeks. They created a quarantined burn unit out of my room, and by the time I came out of the hospital, I had lost 100% of my skin, but I knew I was going on to make a full physical recovery. I mean, I've got scars and some residual issues, but the really big problem for me wasn't the loss of my skin. It was the loss of myself that really set me up for a downward spiral into PTSD pretty quickly.
Wow.
And they didn't know about PTSD back in those days.
You know, that's a great point, Mark, because PTSD grew out of the Vietnam veteran support groups in the 70s, and PTSD, it's been around, you know, it's a human condition, so it's been around as far back as the Egyptian hieroglyphics actually show evidence of PTSD symptoms. But for us here, it didn't have a clinical diagnosis until 1980, and this happened to me, I was 13, it was 1981, so nobody was looking at a little civilian kid with a medical issue in terms of PTSD. So you're right, the symptoms that I had, everybody said, well, she's just being a difficult teenager. And then because I'm an artist, it became, well, she's a temperamental artist as I grew older. And then I just thought, well, I'm just crazy. And I accepted that for a really long time.
Well, so, Michelle, can I ask you, I don't know if this is a question that you're comfortable answering, but can you tell us what medication caused the
Oh, sure. First of all, I'm comfortable. My life is an open book. Before the World Intruded, Conquering the Past and Creating the Future is my whole story. So I'll talk about anything. I took Septra. I had just a regular bladder infection at the end of a summer, too many hours sitting in a wet bathing suit by the pool. And I took Septra, which is a sulfa-based medication. The truth is, this kind of reaction happens to 1 in 2 million people, so it's not by any means, you know, ubiquitous. But it can happen from anything. I've talked to other survivors. They took ibuprofen. So, you know, it can come from a lot of different things. And it's, you know, the frightening thing for those of us who don't know we have this allergy is that it's just regular over-the-counter prescription stuff.
Well, Michelle, what really helped you the most in your quest to gain freedom from your past?
Well, the thing that helped me the most, I think, Mark, was my decision, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it done. I think so often it's not easy, and there's not one prescribed way to heal. So we bang around like people in a dark room looking for a light switch, and after a long time of doing that, it's very easy to give up. And so I think the number one thing was my persistence, my belief, there has to be an answer. There has to be a way. So I would say that, number one. And number two, my decision to give myself a little more balance. You know, with post-traumatic stress disorder, we swing like a pendulum between extremes.
Yes, we do.
You guys know this because of the people that you see who work
well,
with your
I'm
dog.
Well, I'm one of them.
Oh, Mark. Well, then you know exactly what I mean.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I decided I needed more balance, and I, on a day that I was just very close to suicidal ideation, I thought, oh my gosh, things are so black, so dark, and so awful that there has to be something else. Even if just for 30 seconds I feel the opposite of this, it would be better. And I decided I needed to feel joy. And that joy quest led me to an enormous breakthrough in my recovery and covered a lot of things. And one of the things, I know it won't surprise you all, is I decided I needed a puppy. More than anything, I needed a puppy. And I had been just accosting people all over New York City, which is where I lived at the time. Everyone with a Wheaton Terrier, I was down on my knees, I need a dog like this. And so one of the best things I did for myself was get myself a puppy, and he is, even at this moment, he's not a puppy anymore, but he's sitting underneath my desk. He was invaluable to me in helping me come out of myself and reconnect to something good in the world that was life-affirming.
Yeah, I saw a picture of you and your dog on one of your websites, so that was going to be my next question, so you beat me to that. You answered it for me, is how much your dog helped you with that. But before we wrap up and go to break here, tell us where we can buy your book and where we can find out more about you.
Absolutely. Well, the Heal My PTSD website is full of great information about post-traumatic stress disorder and has a PTSD self-test on it, plus lots of information for survivors and caregivers and healing professionals. The ChangeYouChoose.com website has all the information about my book, Before the World Intruded, plus all of the archives and podcasts for Changing Direction, my radio show about how to overcome trauma and PTSD. And you can link back to there from the HealMyPTSD.com website. So you've got two places, tons of information about how to move forward and create the change in your life that you're looking for, because so often we have change we don't choose after trauma. And I feel that reversing it is starting to create change we do choose.
Well, awesome. We want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and we look forward to talking to you again more next week and probably more after that, since I think you can provide us with some really valuable insight for our work in what we do. And so thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and we're going to head to break, and we will be back after these messages.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong?
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear conscience pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
And we're back. How are you guys doing out there? That was awesome listening to that. Again, I mentioned the fact that I had PTSD, and I didn't find out about it till just recently, and it happened back in 1977. So I can really relate to Michelle going through what she's gone through, because I've actually seen that in a patient back in the day. So who's our next guest that we're trying to get on, Susan?
We are trying to get on Dr. Kathy Alanovi, and she's going to talk to us about the new FDA report that came out this week about the jerky treats.
Right.
So hopefully we'll have some more about that.
And I just saw it a couple of days ago, the article where 60 dogs recently have died and with the jerky treats from China. But I want to get a veterinarian, especially Dr. Kathy, on that can tell us more about this, since she has a Master of Science in epidemiology. I can't say it, but anyway, she's good at it.
Epidemiology.
See, that's why you're supposed to be running this. All right. So, like I said, recently 60 more dogs have died. The jerky treats, I don't remember a brand name. But any jerky treat from China, I wouldn't trust anyway. And we're going to find out what the FDA is going to do about it and some other things as soon as we get Dr. Kathy on board. Last week she was with us, and she was coming from Disneyland, so I don't know what circus she's at today.
Well, probably her office. That's circus enough. But if you remember last week, we had Tony from Clear Conscious Pet on,
mm-hmm.
and it talked about glycerin. Not, you know, he does not allow glycerin in any of his treats, and there was particular reasons for that because they're not naturally found in any food. They're a chemically altered manufactured compounds. So it's not natural. In fact, what Tony says in his report to me, he sent me something. He did a paper on it. It says that vegetable glycerin, as designated on pet treat ingredient lists, is most often a byproduct of saponification, the manufacturing of soaps and detergents from vegetable oils. Glycerin can also be made from byproducts of the distillation of ethanol fuel from corn. And what Tony says is, in my opinion, these are not natural food ingredients. Yet, as stated above, they are predominantly used stabilizers in so-called natural, moist, tender dog and cat treats. So, you know, where Tony was talking about last week, he doesn't, you know, we're against the grains, and so his treats don't contain grains. But he was sure to mention glycerin 3 or 4 times, which
absolutely.
I thought was interesting.
Right, and I was going to ask Dr. Kathy about that because, you know, recently you and I have been hearing a lot about the glycerin, and you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and teaching about good nutrition, and it just never came up about the glycerin. The jerky saga thing has been going on since 2007, really. And it's affected over 3,600 dogs and a few cats, but we don't mention cats on this show. And it's killed 580 pets in all. So we gotta find out what to look out for and let these people know that's buying this stuff and having their dogs die before it happens again. So, Dr. Kathy, when we can get her, and we apologize for the delay here, but quickly I wanted to run through her very impressive credentials. She graduated from Purdue with a doctorate in veterinary medicine. She has a master of science in that big long word I can't say, epidemiology. And if that wasn't enough, she has also become certified in veterinarian food therapy, veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal therapy, and aromatherapy. So, you know, in my opinion, she's an expert, and she knows way more than I do. So I think we might be getting her online now, finally. We might have to go to a break and then bring her back for segment 3.
Well, let me just, and last time she was on, of course, she was at Disneyland, but that was fun. But we tried to talk her into becoming a canine behavior specialist because she continues to go to school. And she said that she will do whatever she needs to make sure her clients are taken care of. So,
well, absolutely. She can, you know, we can take care of dogs. We can fix dogs over the phone. If people would just want to call us and ask us about their dog's behaviors, we can tell them what to do. We can change a dog's behavior over the telephone. People can call us at 877-WE-WHISPER, and we can help anybody.
Now, here's another thing that we can talk about real quick before we go to break. Wanted to point out that there's a couple of, I guess, what would we call them, the famous folks that are really pushing work with shelter dogs and adopting dogs and so forth. Ralph Lauren has a new campaign that stars shelter dogs and is helping to promote adopting shelter dogs. And basically it's an online ad for each of the dogs featured. Basically, what they're doing is teaming up with the ASPCA to create an online video campaign, and it's titled The Dog Walk. It features Ralph Lauren's fall accessories collection, but the other star of the campaign is actually shelter dogs in need of good homes. So, in addition to featuring the shelter dogs in the ad, 10% of the proceeds from the purchase price of the selected accessories featured in the film will go to the ASPCA. And now who's starting? The Executive Vice President of Advertising, Marketing, and Corporate Communications says that they've always been a part of, dogs have always been a part of the DNA of Ralph Lauren, but they wanted to find a creative way to bring the love of dogs to the internet age. So his promotion of the shelter dogs has already helped find homes for all of the dogs that were featured in the ad.
Nice.
And Ralph Lauren has posted on their website about all their four-legged models and where they are now. So that's
great.
Cool. Everybody should go check that out.
Absolutely.
Well, we will head to break right now, and we will be back in a few short minutes.
What do you mean when you say they came from the wrong side?
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS, on the web at myfiaa.com.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
I'm Mark.
Yes, he is.
Well, just reminding myself.
Now, we're trying to get Dr. Kathy Alanovi on the line. She's a veterinarian who's nationally recognized for her integrative approach to animal health. But let's talk about a couple of news stories real quick while we're waiting to get her on. Mark, you want to start?
Yeah, just a short one about a Springer Spaniel named Tutu. Maybe it's
Tutta. I think it's Tutta.
Tutta is helping Norwegian alcohol retailers sniff out those using fake IDs. Listen to this.
Ooh, so they got busted.
They've got this dog trained that if a kid underage comes in with a fake ID to purchase alcohol in one of their stores over there, the dog actually sniffs out his scent of his nervousness and gets him busted. And what that does for the teenagers using fake IDs is they're facing fines, imprisonment, and can even prevent the Norwegian teens from obtaining visas to study abroad. So a dog just hangs out at the store and, you know, hopefully you smell good or they'll detain you and figure out what you're trying to do.
Oh,
and I think we got Kathy on.
Yeah, we do. Those poor teenagers are not going to be able to sneak beer. That stinks.
I know.
All right. Well, we're so excited to have Dr. Kathy on because we want to get to some of the bottom issues on this jerky saga. Are you with us, Dr. Kathy?
Finally, we made it.
Yay! So, basically, the jerky saga, jerky treat saga, has been going on since 2007. And in the U.S., it's affected 3,600 dogs and 10 cats, killing approximately 580 pets in all. So, Dr. Kathy, tell us what we need to be looking for with the jerky poisoning.
As far as symptoms, you know, pretty much they can just fall over dead. It's an allergic reaction. And here's the crazy thing. So that all of this came up again. It's, you know, old story being rehashed because the FDA has looked at it for a year and shake their head and gosh darn, they just aren't 100% sure what's going on. Except the reason that the jerky treats finally got pulled was for antibiotic residues. The antibiotics that were in the chicken are sulfa drugs. Mm. Sulfa drugs, you got to really watch out. If you have an allergic reaction to a sulfa drug, guess what you can do?
Stevens-Johnson syndrome like and 10.
Yep.
We just had a guest on, Michelle.
Michelle Rosenthal. She took sulfa drug and at the age of 13 had 10, the thing that's worse than the Stevens-Johnson.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the same thing happens to our animals, but the FDA says, well, it's not proven yet because, you know, how do you find, whatever,
yeah.
whatever. You know, the symptoms are exactly the same. The animals have died. So what do you want to do? We don't want to eat or feed chicken jerky treats from China. And it's simply because they're allowed to use sulfa in their chicken feed, where we are not here because of this. But now, here's what makes it exciting. There's a proposal to the FDA in this country to allow Chinese chicken to be sold for human consumption in this country.
Oh, no.
Right.
Wow.
So then if you're a manufacturer of cute little jerky treats and you go to the grocery store to buy chicken and you don't know where the chicken comes from, then you dehydrate it and then you sell it to your local people. Well, it was made in the U.S., but where'd your chicken come from? So hopefully that bill never gets passed, and you know, or the Chinese people come to the same standard that we do and don't allow sulfa in chicken feed.
Well, I don't
in
see
which
that
case,
happening.
Then the chicken will be fine. Yeah,
now,
I don't see that happening.
Dr. Kathy, the FDA report issued on Tuesday states that they've not identified a specific cause of the illness, but that they did find that one firm used falsified receiving documents for glycerin, which is an ingredient that is used in most jerky pet treats. So what is glycerin and why is it so bad?
Glycerin makes the jerky stay moist. It's basically, it's kind of liquid sugar. But it just keeps it from getting dehydrated. It keeps it from going down, and it makes it look pretty. It keeps it, if you used to buy it, it had kind of crystals, and it would kind of be a little bit shiny. That was the glycerin on it. The glycerin is, it keeps it looking like chicken. If they had falsified reports, then most likely instead of, and this is just my guess, but most likely instead of being food-grade glycerin, it was industrial glycerin, and so which means it had contaminants and other yucky chemicals. But that doesn't explain an anaphylactic reaction, which, you know, big fancy word for people whose airways swell shut when they get stung by a bee. You know, so it's a crazy allergic reaction, and I don't know if this is politics, why they haven't come out and said, yes, sulfas can do this, or if just somebody didn't do a study with sulfas in the residue in the food and prove the reaction. I think it's splitting hairs. It was the sulfas.
I think it's best to say just stay away from Chinese people. No, not people.
No.
You have Chinese products.
Products, I meant. I meant products.
Chinese. So. Okay, so why does the U.S. go to China? It's the last great source for cheap stuff.
Yep.
So if you're going for high-quality food, why does this high-quality food go by cheap junk from China? We want good stuff.
Right.
So, you know.
And there's plenty in our country that make good products, safe products.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always are a supporter of the small businesses, so we support those people, if you would. Hey, real quick, let's change subject. I want to talk about kennel cough, Bordetella. What is it? How do dogs get it? And is it safe for dogs that have kennel cough to be around other dogs?
You give me 30 seconds to answer that hour question.
10
okay.
seconds.
Kennel cough. So kennel cough is a respiratory complex. It starts with a virus, but the bacteria that normally live in the lungs, they say, oh, look, now the lungs and the throat hurts because they've been coughing, and I'm a bacteria, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to get this dog sick. So if it's just the virus, if it's just Bordetella, usually dogs do just fine, and they cough for a while, and they hack, and whatever, and everybody's fine. it's the one with the weak immune system and some yucky bacteria that get really sick from it. So other dogs around a dog coughing, well, if they've ever been vaccinated for against kennel cough, they're probably okay. You know, there's always a risk because it is contagious, and it can be contagious for several months afterwards. But, you know, if your dog's otherwise healthy, eating good food in a good environment, so he hacks a little bit and he gets over it and he's fine.
Okay. That's good to know.
Okay, so let's go to break really quick because can you stay on with us, Dr. Kathy? I have a few more questions about kennel cough, and we'll be right back after these few messages and talk a little bit more about that.
And I want to hear more about Disneyland.
I didn't even
agree. Let's go to break.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
And we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. We are on with Dr. Kathy Alanovi.
She's been ill, Kathy. She's been ill.
Yes, so I have the crud this week, so everybody has to give me a break. I have kennel cough, actually.
I was just saying, who gave you kennel cough?
I did. That's why we were asking if another dog can give it to another dog.
Troublemaker.
I hear you.
Well, he's the dog, but I'm not. No, seriously, I picked up a dog last week from a shelter that we're going to train to be a service dog for a veteran. But we can't bring her here because we have a puppy at the house. So I asked for, besides that, we're full, but we'll have an opening here in a couple weeks. So I found a temporary foster. But in the meantime, while I was looking for the foster, I had somebody volunteer to take the dog in for a month until we have openings here. And she said that her dogs had never been vaccinated for kennel cough. And so my first instinct was, well, no, that'll make your, you know, we don't want to risk your dogs by putting this dog that has a URI in the home with your unvaccinated dogs. But she had been told by somebody else that it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. So I really wanted to find out from an expert, you know, what do you think about that?
Boy, she is playing a little bit of a gamble. Now, I'm not one of those people who thinks that we need to vaccinate every year and all that sort of thing. And kennel cough is not well understood because we talked last time about the rabies immunity and distemper parvo immunity. Nobody's done the research on the kennel cough vaccine, how long are dogs protected from it. But what I've seen is that dogs who've been vaccinated once just don't seem to get kennel cough, even if other dogs come around. Another difference, I think that this person really, that's a really nice thing, her offering this, but what if her dogs become sick? And then there's this lingering cough, and then there's guilt. I don't like the risk. That's nice.
Okay.
But, you know, on the other hand, why did the dog get the kennel cough in the first place? It got it in a shelter, right?
Right.
Where there's a whole ton of dogs packed in, because shelters are doing the best that they can with as many animals as they can. And no matter how hard you try, ventilation is never as good as it should be. You can't help that when you get that many packed in. And so that's how the virus propagates. And so it's possible that this little puppy comes out of the shelter, goes to somebody's house with lots of free space, lots of open air. It's possible that nobody's affected, but yeah, there's gamble and, oh, what do you do?
All right, well, speaking of what do you do?
I would feel bad if it were me and they got it.
Speaking of what to do, I know they put some dogs on antibiotics. I don't know if that's just,
it's a virus. What it is. It's a virus. So why do you do antibiotics for a virus? You don't. The antibiotics are because, well, all right, we make more money if we send home product, honestly. You know, and because what do I often do with really mild kennel cough cases is I actually send them home with little herbal antiviral tablets to just help strengthen the body's immune system and fight off the virus. So, Susan, you got a cold. How long do you think it's going to last?
Oh, it better be over with by the first.
Yes. We have to go to Honolulu on the first, and I don't want to go sit.
Okay, so you have a deadline of 2 weeks to get rid of your crud. And that's probably pretty reasonable. In most uncomplicated cases of kennel cough, it takes about 2 weeks. So uncomplicated is right? That's what they sound like. Complicated is...
How do they do that again, Kathy?
Complicated is you cough and hack like that, and you don't have energy, and you don't eat, and that's when the bacteria has taken opportunity and invaded into the throat and caused a systemic infection. Most of the time, it's not a problem.
Okay.
Kennel cough is a pretty mild disease most of the time.
Okay.
And, you know, you get a dog with kennel cough and you take him to the vet, guess what? I mean, it's like a well person going into a hospital.
Yeah.
You can pick up all kinds of bugs that way.
Right. And your kennel cough dog is spreading his cooties at the vet's office.
Correct.
So we disinfect like crazy when they leave.
Right.
There was actually two medications that they'd given. You know, of course, the antibiotic was one, but they also were treating with a steroid, prednisone.
Mm-hmm.
Is that appropriate?
Look, she's laughing. What do you think?
So what do steroids do to the immune system?
Suppress it.
Very good. If you have a virus, do you want your immune system to be suppressed or enhanced?
Enhanced.
Yeah, you see why I laughed?
So why would people do that? I just don't understand.
They're trying to take down the swelling in the throat.
The bronchioles or whatever, right.
Right, so they want to take down the swelling, sell more stuff.
And charging more. Yes, you are. That's why we love you.
So, well, thank you. So you walk out with twice as much stuff, and so, you know, lots more product.
And it's going to go away in 2 weeks anyway.
Usually go away in two weeks anyway, and so you're giving steroids and antibiotics at the same time. So the steroids suppress the immune system. The antibiotics make sure that the bacteria who are now taking advantage of the weakened immune system don't come in, and so, you know, dog comes out fine in 2 weeks.
And we wonder why our dogs are getting cancer, dying of cancers.
Right. And why are they shedding? Because they're getting all of these immune suppressive medications that stick around in the body and have lasting side effects, because you guys do know that dogs aren't supposed to shed, right? Except for like twice a year.
You ought to see this house.
It's not normal. You guys have some inflammation going on.
We only have We only have 10 dogs here. So okay.
This is okay. Now, hang on a second, because this might be another subject for another show. Because we need to investigate this. Because my Kirby would like to argue with you, Dr. Kathy.
We got work to do. I'm close. I have 7 right now. One of my girls passed away recently, so we're down to 7. I have less fur now that I know all this crazy stuff about food than when I used to have 3 dogs and I was feeding some horrible prescription veterinary diet.
Don't mention Hills. Not on our show.
I won't say their name.
No.
You did it.
What?
Well, we're gonna go to break. We appreciate you being on with us, Dr. Kathy. You're always a wonderful guest. And we are going to have you on to talk about this shedding business, because I'm going to have to get to the bottom of that. I didn't know dogs weren't supposed to shed, so that is new to me. So we are going to schedule you to come back on and talk about that. But
sounds
thank you for
good.
Coming on
you
today.
Get over your cold.
Yeah, and teaching us about kennel cough
and
about
Disneyland.
Sulfa drugs and Disneyland. We will be right back after these messages.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just 1 fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
And you're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. We're back from break. And now it's time for Dogs in the News.
When news breaks, we fix it. An 8-year quest to honor the 4-legged guardians of freedom, known as military working dogs, will come to a culmination this Monday in San Antonio. So anybody in that area, our listeners down there, can go to this event. The new U.S. Military Working Dog Team's National Monument will be dedicated at Joint Base San Antonio Lackland, home of the world's largest training center for military and security canines and their handlers. Now, John Burnham, he's a former dog handler in the Vietnam War and a technical rider from McLean, Virginia. He led this $2 million project and said the scout and sentry dogs he worked with in the Army saved him from ambushes and booby traps. Dogs that served in Vietnam were left behind. I mean, that was Vietnam. But today, military dogs are placed up for adoption when they retire or they return home with their handlers. So after writing 2 books on his war experiences, Burnham saw a need for a monument honoring these dogs. And he began lobbying Congress in 2005. Well, bottom line is he finally got enough money from Maddie's Fund, the Pet Rescue Foundation, Natural Balance Pet Foods, veterans groups, individual donations, and charitable events. He got the money to have this ceremony dedicated to these dogs. And Monday from 1 to 4 p.m., it's at Wolf Stadium in San Antonio. Everybody knows where that is. And there's seating available for 500 people. Susan?
Wow.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we should call Lewis and tell him to go.
Absolutely. He might already know about it.
That's true. Now, this is a kind of a, I don't know if it's a new product or one that we're just now hearing about, but it's kind of neat, and we're going to have to do some checking on it because we've run into this before. Basically, what it is the product is called Dr. Busby's Toe Grips, and they're natural rubber cylinders that you just slide onto the dog's toenails to create like a grip zone. And it enables the dog's natural mechanism for obtaining traction. It helps them to grip on the floor. For instance, let's just say it's designed for senior and special needs dogs. They enable traction on floors and stairs. They reduce the risk of slip and fall injury. And then they improve mobility, stability, and confidence. You've seen Maverick when we're walking through on a slick floor, like when we were in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Now, Maverick's only two, but even he couldn't get real good traction on that slick floor. Well, Hope, she's a 15-year-old shepherd, and she had undergone knee surgery years earlier, which had not healed correctly. And as a result, she wasn't ever able to put that much weight on her right hind leg. So when she pushed off of it in a normal stride, the leg would slip and twist grotesquely, especially on slick floors. Now, an integrative veterinarian who practices animal chiropractic and veterinary acupuncture, many of his patients are senior dogs with mobility issues. And through conventional and alternative medicine, this vet usually improved their mobility and comfort, but could never affect slipping. So he had no solution to the slipping, struggling on hard floor surfaces. Now, what he used to advise his clients is to litter their homes with throw rugs, and we've told clients that same thing. Mm-hmm. Get some throw rugs, put them down on the floor. But inevitably, the dogs would still choose to lie on the cold floor because dogs get hot. They have all that fur, and they want to lay. Yeah, that they're not supposed to shed. And they want to lay on the cold, hard floor and cool their bones. So he needed a solution, and what he came up with is these toe grips. Now, in the wild, what dogs would flex their paws and use their nails like cleats. They dig into the terrain for traction. Now, unfortunately, our domestic dogs instinctively attempt to dig their hard nails into hard floors to get a grip, but the slipping just, because the floor is slick, it just gets worse. So with the toe grips, this dog Hope, this 15-year-old shepherd, was the first experiment. She flopped down obligingly in her pine straw while we applied the toe grips, and then she stood up and walked away. 75% improved. That's pretty impressive. Wow. So the vet was astonished, obviously. The only logical explanation was that she bore weight on her bad leg and it didn't twist out from under her. She was willing to trust that leg, and as a result, her gait significantly improved. Now, she's seen Hope every 3 weeks for the prior 2 years, and she was on every manner of Western medication and herbal supplementation. And she treated her regularly with acupuncture and chiropractic. And so she was holding her own, but she couldn't ever affect the slipping and twisting of that leg. But now, in less than 5 minutes, the time that it took to apply them, the toe grips have transformed Hope's posture and gait. So, anyway, something definitely to be checking out for older dogs that have problems getting up off the ground with tile floors, cement floors, wood floors, you name it.
Well, in the UK, I guess they would say that they're going to put rubbers on their dogs. But I have a story.
That was bad, Mark. That was so bad.
Well, thank you very much.
But I was coughing. My kennel cough is acting up, and I couldn't even tell you.
I tell you, you got to get that Bordetella shot. Professional hockey players. I'm not that much of a hockey guy, but I follow it a little bit. But the Washington Capitals teamed up with a rescue called Homeward Trails Animal Rescue for a special photo shoot to create a calendar featuring the players and some of the shelter dogs. So last Tuesday, 10 of the shelter dogs from Homeward Trails spent the afternoon with some of the stars from the Washington Capitals to create a 2014 canine calendar. The calendar, the sales of the calendar benefits Homeward Trails, and the photo shoot had a photo booth theme as the players and shelter dogs are seen using props for their humorous photos. So the afternoon was fun for both players and pups, as everyone got along well. So look for that calendar coming out. Help support a rescue up in Washington for them. Show our guests your support.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of our syndicated stations is up in Seattle. So come on, guys, support your team. You know what we need? We need to get the Dallas Stars to support some shelter dogs around
here. They have
here
a hockey team?
Well, yes. If you're going to live in Texas now, you need to get with it, dude. We got the Cowboys, we got the Stars, we got the Rangers, and we got the Mavericks.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You might have to go back on to Kansas.
I hear you.
Well, right. I guess I shouldn't. Maybe you should, because the Chiefs are winning.
Absolutely.
Maybe they're winning because you moved down here.
Well, whatever works.
So, that's pretty much it for this week.
Okay.
Everybody, folks, remember you can email us at pettalk@live.com. I can't wait to have Dr. Kathy on to talk about these dogs that shouldn't be shedding. That should be a good show. So, thanks for joining us, and everybody have a great week. What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?